You are listening to Real World News.
Award to the World Corporation of 2012, Lundin Mining Company and its actions in South Africa. In August 2012, managers of British mining corporation Lundin urged the South African Mining Ministry to take appropriate measures against striking mine workers at the Palladium mine located in Marikana region with the help of the police and the armed forces. On August 16th, 44 miners were murdered by the police while protesting and 77 were seriously wounded. This is partly why Groundwork Friends of the Earth South Africa and the Benchmarks Foundation submitted Lundin to the Public Eye People's Awards that chooses the world's corporations once a year. This submission was based on the human rights violations and environmental destruction that the corporation has carried out since the establishment of its mine in the Marikana region in the northwest province of South Africa, according to a press release issued by the organizations. Real World Radio interviewed Groundworks media and information campaigner Megan Lewis, who explained in detail why Lundin was shortlisted as the World's Company of 2012. For more information about the seven candidates to the award and to cast a vote, please visit publiceye.ch. By January 23rd, Lundin will compete against the Swiss energy company Repower, the renowned US-based financial group Goldman Sachs, the Coal India Mining Company, the French energy and transport company Alstom, the British Security Services Corporation G4S, and Anglo-Dutch oil company Shell.
Okay, so Lundin is a British company, and it's the world's third largest platinum mine. In its interim half-year report, which was released in March of last year, it recorded a net profit of $14 billion. At the mine in Marikana, which is in the province of the Northwest in South Africa, there are over 23,000 permanent employees. Now, the directors of Lundin earn salaries in the millions, and for instance, Lundin's CEO, who has recently resigned, earned a salary of 29 million rand, or over 250,000 euros in 2010. Now, compare that to workers who this year were earning 4,000 rand a month, doing very dangerous and skilled work down in the mine. So this kind of inequality filters down to the community. So it's not only the miners themselves that experience this inequality. The community in which they live in is in serious need of food, water, sanitation, and healthcare infrastructure, which the mine just doesn't provide for them. For many years, the employees of Lundin in Marikana have expressed their grievances both to government and to Lundin, but these grievances have fallen deaf ears and nothing has been done about them. So basically Groundwork and the Benchmarks Foundation nominated Lundin as the World's Corporation of 2012 in the Public Eye Awards because of the company's horrendous environmental and social justice track record, where profits, huge profits, have been put before people's ability to meet a basic standard of living in a healthy environment.
Megan, you mentioned those human rights violations and environmental destruction of the company. We have read something about that in the press release that both organizations sent on January 4th. I would like you to please let me know a bit more about those impacts of the company in South Africa.
Last year, the Benchmarks Foundation released a report called Policy Gap 6, the communities in the platinum minefields. Now, this report highlights all of these. Some of these are worker health and safety at the mine. A number of miners have died at the mine. For instance, in 2010, the mine had three fatal accidents, and this has doubled by January of 2011. Another issue that the Benchmarks report highlights is that local employment is not always sourced, and instead they use migrant labor, as well as staff being fired. For instance, in 2011, as a result of a union dispute, which caused unsanctioned walk-offs by miners, Lonmin fired 9,000 of its employees because they were disrupting the output at the platinum operations. Another issue of concern is that agricultural land has been used for the mine's operations, and this has meant that food security and local livelihoods have been compromised by the mine. And in general, the effects of mining, as in mines all over the country, on social stability and the environment of the area have been huge. And as I said earlier, despite communities and the miners discussing this with Lonmin previously, nothing has been done to rectify this.
Okay, Megan, it would be good if you could remind us about the tragedy that took part on August 16th last year in Marikana, where a total of 44 miners were killed and 78 others were injured during a protest for increased wages. In which way the company was involved with this case, please illustrate us a bit more about that tragedy of that day last year, Megan.
Okay, that was a very sad time for South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely.
The entire country came to a standstill in August, and we're still dealing with that tragedy. Basically what happened was on the 10th of August of last year, miners at the Lonmin mine in Marikana, they began to protest to voice their anger at one of the unions, which is called the National Union of Mine Workers, or NUM. This has been a union which has been going in South Africa for a very long time, one of South Africa's strongest unions. They were not supporting the miners in their demands for more wages. Now, as I said earlier, the miners were earning 4,000 rand, and they were calling for 12,500 rand. But without the support of that union, and without Lonmin meeting them to discuss this wage increase, they then went to a rival union, which is called the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, or AMCU. They were offering more support, and this union, of course, then threatened NUM, their members, their membership. So what happened was, in this kind of heated union and corporate and government situation, Lonmin got hold of government, and government sent the South African Police Service to try and sort out the situation. Unfortunately, the police service used a very heavy hand. So on the 10th of August, 8 workers were killed and 2 members of the police service were killed. And then on the 16th of August, which is known as the Marikana Massacre, 34 miners were killed and 77 were injured by the South African Police Service. Basically, while the state and the unions were partly at fault, we've seen very little responsibility being placed on Lonmin when they, in fact, fueled the violent and oppressive situation in a number of ways. This was not an incident that sprang out of the blue. This came from miners who had been repeatedly ignored. And I mean, even the community backed those workers because they too had felt the effects that the mine was having on their community and their ability to survive. So yeah, I just want to get that across, that this is not a a spontaneous or completely out of the blue situation. It was people that had been living like this for a long time, and were obviously frustrated by their situation. And the government and the unions who were supposed to protect them from a corporation like Lonmin, unfortunately, they did not come to their people's aid in that situation.
Yeah, Megan, you are absolutely right when you say, of course, when you say that those were days so very, very sad for South Africa, and I think also for the peoples of the world, for the peoples who feel the pain, the peoples who are solidarity with the pain of other peoples in other parts of the world. From Real World Radio, we still want to send you and all South African people our share our pain because of this situation, that we are really sure that the families and people who were very, very close to the workers are still in pain because of that. So the solidarity feeling from Real World Radio about that. Megan, just a short one more about that. What happened with the workers that could be alive after those killings? What is their situation nowadays? I mean, do they have a job? Do you have any idea what's happening with the workers who could save their lives? What is happening nowadays?
So at the moment, there's a commission being held, the Marikana Commission, also known as the Farlam Commission, that is basically being held to get various people's perspectives on what had happened, because obviously the police have a different story, Lonmin has a different story, the workers have a different story, so they're sitting now on this commission to work out basically the truth behind what had happened, as well as to work out compensation for the workers. But for instance, before this commission commenced, there was an issue of people not being able to attend. So the community and the family members of the miners had to fight to try and get money to be able to get transport to go to this commission. Another instance is at the end of last year, one of the miners who was supposed to testify actually committed suicide because he was so traumatized by what he had seen during the protest. So despite it having happened in August, we still seeing the repercussions of that today. I'm not exactly sure of when the commission will end, but I'm pretty sure that some kind of compensation will come out of that. I'm just not sure as to how much or in what form it will be.
Okay, Megan, according to the press release that we mentioned before, that groundwork and also the Benchmarks Foundation's release on January 4, Bobby Peake, who is the director of Groundwork, said that the events at Marikana must be seen in the context of a failed democracy and crumbling state whose interest is tied up in protecting the wealth of the elite rather than supporting the poor and responding to their call for the ANC's promised better life for all. So I would ask you, Megan, now, what was the role of the government and the state in that horrible massacre? You mentioned something that maybe you would like to add something else. I mean, what happened in those days, in mid-August last year, and what's happening today about that?
Okay, well, our nomination, basically it highlights the nexus or the link between corporate power, which in this case is Lonmin, and the political elite, in this case the African National Congress or the ANC. So, for instance, Cyril Ramaphosa, which is an ANC leader and a businessman, is a large shareholder in Lonmin. And when he was informed about the events, what was happening at the Marikana mine, he referred to those events as criminal, so as in the miners are acting criminally, and that immediate action was necessary to stop the striking miners. So you have this contradiction of interests where you have a government official who very much has his hands in a business, and in this case takes the business aside to the detriment of his people. So that's one instance where we see the state being involved or the government being involved. This then resulted in a very heavy-handed response by the South African police force in protecting corporate profits over striking workers' lives. So what we also saw then was that President Jacob Zuma, he was in Mozambique at the time, and he seemed quite unperturbed as his response to getting back to the country and addressing his people was not immediate. He's been referred to as an absent president in a time that people have called one of the worst events in South Africa's history since apartheid, which ended in 1994. So, yes, as I said, you have the situation where government is almost colluding with corporates like Lonmin, and not protecting their people.
Okay, I understand, Megan. Yeah. In which ways you think that the submission of this company of Lonmin to the public eye awards helped to denounce the corporation internationally, Megan?
So the shortlisting of Lonmin, amongst those six other corporations, it basically highlights the severity of the impact of the mine throughout 2012 and before, as well as the specific events which happened in August. So while people might internationally have heard about the massacre at Marikana, this our submission to the Public Eye Awards brings an in-depth light not only to the tragedy that happened last year, but also to the systematic oppression that has occurred throughout Lonmin's existence in Marikana. It also means that while the Lonmin Commission, the Marikana Commission of Inquiry, happens to some extent behind closed doors, through this submission we continue to put pressure on Lonmin and on the state through an international audience. Basically, I'll end off here by this submission. The two organizations hope to give Lonmin the bad reputation that it basically deserves. Yeah.
Perfect, Megan. Do you know if Lonmin has had any kind of public response to this submission that you have taking on, that you have presented with the other foundation? Has Lonmin said something publicly about that?
So in the media, Lonmin's response was that they basically could not comment on our submission because they weren't aware of the Public Eye Awards and they weren't aware of the criteria that were involved. So that was basically all that they've said. They haven't said anything further since.
Okay, Megan, would you like maybe to add something that I have not asked you about and you think it is important for you to mention?
I suppose just that the groundwork and the Benchmark Foundation really thinks that Lonmin deserves the Public Eye Awards, the People's Award, just because although it's a very specific case to South Africa, is very indicative of what is going on in South Africa and, as I said, what is happening between corporates and governments and the collusion that happens between these two.
Okay, it was Megan Lewis, media and information campaigner at Groundwork Friends of the Air South Africa. Megan, you have been really, really nice. Thank you for your time, for your words, and it has been a pleasure to be in contact with you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to me.
You are listening to Real World News.